22,500 miles above the planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.
Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay on a beautiful fall day. In fact, this is the winter solstice, so we're just beginning winter right now, but it's a beautiful, crisp day. Sky is blue, ocean is sparkling out there in front of us. It's a beautiful, beautiful spot, and we're truly blessed to live here. Well, coming to you from beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, well, right now we have Mr. Robert Peters on the line. Hopefully we do. Mr. Peters, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, I'm so glad to have you with us. And we're going to be talking about some of the shootings that we've been seeing across America. And Mr. Peters has some very strong views on the origin of this and what can be done. So I'm just going to let you pick up the story there, please. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, though, and your background and why you're interested in this subject?
Well, I guess that's a long story, but I began working at Morality and Media back in May of 1985 as a staff attorney. I was expecting to spend maybe two or three years here and move on to something else. I had never anticipated that 23 years later I would still be here. And I was named president of Morality and Media back in 1992, so I've been president for 15 years, as and I say, for better and worse. But, I sometimes say that I didn't grow up wanting to be an anti-pornography fighter, or I didn't grow up wanting to be the president of Morality and Media. I'd never heard of Morality and Media. Didn't know there was a fight against pornography when I was a kid. But I kind of got drafted into the moral issue battle back in actually the fall of 1977, and I say drafted because I was working with a pastor at the time, and my desire was to be in some sort of full-time Christian work. But he got involved in the moral issues and drafted me into the battle along with him. And I, for quite some time, I resented it. But as time went along, I began to realize that, A, there was a whole nother, I don't know what you'd call it, perspective on life that I had never even been exposed to in 4 years of college and 3 years of law school. It was like, I was getting a whole new education in something that I had been totally oblivious to. And, I began to realize, and I tell you, the longer I'm in this battle, the more I believe that these moral issues that sometimes, we talk about the cultural war, but I realize that our nation has other problems, but the way I put it is that if something else doesn't get us first, the moral decline in our country is going to get us eventually if we don't smarten up and realize that for our society to be healthy, we have to have some morality. It just can't be that everybody does whatever they want in terms of sexuality, alcohol, drugs, whatever it is. If that's the direction that we choose to take, eventually we're going to come apart at the seams. So I'm a champion of the need for basic morality in society, and I'm also a champion for the role of law in protecting morality. Historically, that was always true. It's only been in the last whatever number of decades that some of our Supreme Court justices have a different view of life. In my opinion, their view of life could be compared to a fool's paradise, because it's not going to be a happy place if America becomes like certain Supreme Court judges think we should become. I've talked too much.
I certainly agree with you, and of course the thing is, the question is, why do these Supreme Court justices pass the legislation that has brought us to where we are today? What motivates them? Why do they have a different worldview than you and I? We'll be right back.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 psi, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the advanced Berkey Light purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
This is Elizabeth Border. News alert. Twice a month, you can now get the Divided Kingdom's brand new newsletter. Concise, hard-hitting, the first issue discusses two vital questions. War in Iran? A coming one-world church? In the first issue is included a pungent discussion of NWO numerology. For a free sample copy of the Divided Kingdom dossier, write to Post Office Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. A yearly subscription is only $50 for a newsletter that comes not once, but twice every month. Get the spiritual support you need right now for your free sample copy to P.O. Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Once again, for your free copy of the Divided Kingdom dossier newsletter, write to P.O. Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Mr. Robert Peters, and he's the president of Morality and Media. And we were just talking about why it was that the Supreme Court justices, you know, put aside the traditions of America, and this, most of this really happened in the 1960s as they took God and prayer out of our schools, but also so modified the structure of our society that local communities could not effectively monitor or control the dissemination of pornography. So you pick up the story there, Robert.
Well, I tell you, it's an interesting question. Why the Supreme Court, in many respects, has been so out of touch with the average American in terms of values, whatnot, thoughts on how America should be. You know, it's interesting. One of two things. Either people who wind up on the Supreme Court, they went wrong from very early on. That's one possible explanation. Their motivations were not to honor God, to serve their fellow man. Their motivations were to become successful, to become wealthy, to become influential, you know, to be somebody in the world rather than to serve and to honor God. You know, that's one explanation. The other explanation that comes to my mind is that this is what the combination, and I can speak from experience. You know, if you go to a four-year college, virtually all of which are atheistic, you know, agnostic, there's no little or no influence of religion in virtually any, not virtually, no secular institution, and most private institutions of higher education. Add 3 years of law school to that, which are even more liberal than colleges, and unless you really got your values straight and your purpose in life and I guess your faith perspective, you're going to wind up being a product of 4 years of college and 3 years of law school, which means you're going to basically have the values of a secular elite, people who don't believe in God, believe that, you know, they are the pinnacle of the universe and that all things can be solved through their reason because, of course, they're smart and educated and they know better than the rest of us. But I tell you, it's a sad commentary, and I, you know, my honest belief is that for the most part, Supreme Court justices honestly think they're doing the right thing. But I always sometimes go back to that passage in the Bible that the person, you know, a couple of them. One is that the person who says there's no God is a fool, and the other one that comes to mind is that thinking themselves to be wise, which we have a tendency to do, we human beings, we become fools. You know, we think we're smart. We think we have the answers. We think that our logic is the correct logic, and we have no humility, no sense of reverence for anything above us. And I think that would pretty much clearly describe a lot of Supreme Court justices who've sat in that seat over the last half century or so.
Well, of course, FDR and Harry Truman wanted to pack the court with people who looked at the world the way that they did. And certainly they looked at the world entirely different than the average human being. Remember, of course, the furor that arose when FDR talked about packing the Supreme Court. Well, he didn't have to pack it. He just appointed people who looked at the world the way he did. And, of course, that did essentially the same thing until the majority of the people on the Supreme Court had the morals of FDR, who cheated on his wife, was involved with the occult and astrology and all sorts of crazy things, and he put people on the court who looked at the world pretty much as he did.
Well, I tell you, you know, I'm not a historian of the Supreme Court, but I've seen this from a number of different sources over the years, that the two justices who were most responsible for taking the Supreme Court in the direction that it went under former Chief Justice Earl Warren in the 50s and 60s. But there were two judges before Chief Justice Earl Warren. One of them was, I forget his first name, one was Brandeis, and the other, was Oliver Wendell Holmes. But there were two justices that were, you know, that their lifespan began, I think, in the late 1800s and went in well into the 1900s. But both of these men rejected the idea that there was a law and above themselves. You know, I think from up until sometime into the 1900s, even if the judges weren't people of great faith, there was just this perception that you had man's law, and that there was a higher law. And in interpreting the Constitution, for the most part, I think judges, not always, but there was this sense that the Constitution needs to be consistent with this higher law that 98% of the American people believed in. But Justice Holmes and Justice Brandeis had a different view of life. And at first they began as dissenters, you know, they were always dissenting about something. But as the years went by, they began to persuade other judges, and, you know, eventually the court tipped, and what we have today are judges who think that they are a law unto themselves. They believe they have a right to interpret the Constitution any way that five or more judges can agree on. And they could care less what the American people think. They could care less what our founding fathers intended. And they honestly think they know better than most of the American people. Because I don't think most of the American people support a lot of the decisions of the Supreme Court over the last half century. So they must think they know better than the rest of us.
Well, but you see, they've sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution. And that is their job. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they think might be better. The only way to change the Constitution is to amend it. And when you have the Supreme Court justices changing the Constitution, they have violated their oath of office.
Well, I would agree with you, but in their mind, they are the Constitution. You know, it's often said that the Constitution is what the Supreme Court says it is. Now, to some extent, there's a bit of truth in that, even if all of our judges were people who had a sense of humility and understood it wasn't their job to rewrite the laws in accordance with their own values. But, you know, these judges honestly believe, you know, I mean, it used to be they lied. They said it wasn't true. But I think at a certain point, the court became so powerful in its present form, the judges openly admit that, you know, in their opinion, the Constitution is what they say it is. It's what they think it should be, not what it was intended to mean, not what most Americans would want it to mean, but what these elitist judges think it should mean. And I tell you, it's not that the judges are always wrong, but I would almost bet that in certain areas they are almost wrong because they are deluded people. You know, they're out of touch with reality. I mean, they think that, you know, those of us who have some sense of someone over us are out of touch with reality. But in my opinion, they are the ones that are out of touch with reality. And they're certainly out of touch with mainstream American values.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. One of my favorite books is entitled The Master Thoughts of Thomas Jefferson. I keep it beside me all the time. It was actually put out in 1907 by the Bar of the State of New York. I doubt that they'd put it out today. But here's what Jefferson said. It has long been my opinion, and I have never shrunk from its expression, that the germ of dissolution of our federal government is in the constitution of our federal judiciary. For an irresponsible body, for impeachment is scarcely a scarecrow, working like gravity by night and by day, gaining a little today and a little tomorrow, and advancing its noiseless step like a thief over the field of jurisdiction, until all shall be usurped from the states, and the government all be consolidated into one. And to this I am opposed, because when all government, domestic and foreign, in little as in great things, shall be drawn to Washington as the center of all power, it will render powerless the checks of one government on another. And you know, you look back over 200 years when Jefferson wrote that, it's just as true today as when he wrote it.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, it's because there has been no practical check on the Supreme Court. In theory, there seem to be checks in the Constitution, but for the most part, Congress has not exercised its at least apparent authority to limit the court. And unlike, you know, I mean, both the president and members of Congress, there are two checks. One, the American people can throw them out of the office, whereas Supreme Court justices serve for life, so they don't have the check of a vote. And you know, I mean, with Congress, the president can veto legislation, and Congress can override it. But at this point in our nation's history, the court kind of positioned itself such that when it decides what the Constitution means, nobody can disagree. You know, and as is often pointed out, there's nothing in the Constitution that gives the Supreme Court that total authority. I mean, perhaps they might have, you know, perhaps they should have authority in when there are two parties in a case and there's an actual controversy that ultimately whatever the court decides is going to bind those two parties. I mean, a case could be made that in the narrow confines of an actual case and controversy involving two parties, two citizens, they their voice is going to be final. But what it's evolved into today is that the court can, somebody comes in and says the law is unconstitutional. Well, you know, or it can be applied in an unconstitutional manner. And no matter how important that law might be, somebody can go in and the Supreme Court will decide whether that law is constitutional or not. And a lot of times they decide that question based on what, on their own personal opinions. No, I mean, their own perceptions of how society should be, that's the way they decide the case. But and they declare the law unconstitutional.
But what they have done, of course, is to make pornography constitutional. People have a right to produce pornography. At one time, it was regulated by the states and in the local community, but the Supreme Court had, for all intents and purposes, legalized pornography. And we have to ask what sort of depraved individuals would do that, or what sort of a God that they would truly be worshiping. Well, we're going to be back with Mr. Peters here in just a few moments, and we'll talk a little bit about his concerns about what's going on in our country today.
Ted Anderson from Midas. December 21st, 2007. Gold $809.90. Ounce gold coins can be purchased for $834.26, $411.15 for half, $205.58 for quarter. That's $834.26, $411.15, and $205.58. For years, Ron Paul has taken the position to uphold constitutional rights. He's been branded by special interest groups as doctrinal, refusing to bend his values. I can only imagine the pressure applied by Congress as he stands alone for these principles. He has given up a medical career for this. Ron Paul is running for president. The ideas of strong currency, ending the war, defending the Constitution, and protecting civil liberties are catching on. As a thank you, GCNLive.com, Midas Resources, and I would like to send you a free copy of the Ron Paul Family Cookbook. Call 800-686-2237 for your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237. I hope his values are touching your heart as deep as they are mine. That's 800-686-2237. Thanks again for supporting Ron Paul.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Monty, Dr. Stan here, our guest, Mr. Robert Peters of Morality and Medium. Traditionally, pornography was regulated by the local communities, and every local community could have its own standards, and the majority of the people opposing pornography were able to control its production and dissemination. But the depraved people in the Supreme Court had a different agenda. And various types of trickery, they were able to negate the existing laws that were on the books and make it so that the local communities could not regulate pornography. And as a result of that, why we have the epidemic of filth and degradation that we see all across America today, to the point where America is the greatest producer of pornography in the world today. And this is all a direct result of the depraved minds of the people on the Supreme Court, and who I believe know exactly what they're doing, but of course the average American doesn't understand how they have actually altered the structure of this nation and brought in what we see today, which is America is facing moral anarchy. And if you study history, you'll find that there is no incidence in all history where a nation has turned to depravity, where that nation has survived. Mr. Peters, you pick up the story.
Well, I'd make one qualification that at one level, I don't know why, but the Supreme Court never did on the pornography issue what it did on the abortion issue. With abortion, they, for all practical purposes, legalized all abortions, with the possible exception of when the baby's head is coming out of the womb. At that point, the baby may enjoy at least a little protection under the Constitution. But up until that point, forget it. And, you know, the Supreme Court never, thankfully, despite all the efforts that have been made by the pornographers and groups like the ACLU, they've never held that all pornography is protected by the Constitution. Certainly child pornography is not. And there's a category that Supreme Court itself described as hardcore adult pornography, obscene material that isn't protected by the First Amendment. And there are laws at the federal level and in the large majority of states that could be enforced against this vile stuff. But what the Supreme Court did do that in effect caused the problem is that they redefined the term obscene beginning back in the late 1950s to the point where it, you know, I get angry at prosecutors who won't enforce obscenity laws, and at one level I think there's no excuse for them not doing it. But they do have at least a legitimate concern, which is that the obscenity definition that the Supreme Court came up with is so loose and so subjective that no matter what kind of case they never know what a jury is going to do. And because they don't know what a jury is going to do, they won't prosecute the cases. And of course, you know, the result of that is that the pornographers are basically kind of taking over American culture step by step. And I'm not exaggerating. It's not just the fact that we have so much pornography available in America, you know, on the internet and cable and satellite television, video, DVDs, video games, the old-fashioned magazines, stuff like that. Both the mentality and the imagery of pornography are step-by-step. I'll tell you, popular culture almost reflects a pornographic mindset. And boy, and it's not just for adults either. The kids probably get more of it than the average adult because they're the ones that consume popular culture for the most part. But just my one qualification is that there are still laws on the books that could be enforced against the adult hardcore pornography if we had federal prosecutors and state prosecutors who had moral backbone. But I'm afraid we don't have many prosecutors at either level who are willing to take on this horrible beast called pornography. They're afraid of it, and or they, they just aren't willing to pay the price to fight it.
Well, it's a shame we don't have prosecutors who will do what's right. But, of course, the definition of pornography was, well, somebody once said, well, we can't define it, but I know it when I see it. Well, I mean, we see it around us all the time. We see it on television. We see it in the movies. Oh, but, of course, it's perfectly all right because somebody else says, well, I don't see that's obscene. State Supreme Court could have defined pornography. They didn't want to because I believe that they wanted this moral anarchy. I believe that there really are evil and wicked people on the Supreme Court who are placed there to do exactly what they've done, and they've done a magnificent job. You could not have the situation developing, if it weren't that there was an organized effort to destroy the moral fabric of our nation.
Well, I tell you, I think the term obscene could be defined in a way that there would still be a little bit of leeway that would, but I think that the definition could definitely be tightened up to the point where prosecutors would have a pretty good idea, and so would the pornographers, what was legal and what was not.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are reclaimable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a 2-pack for only $99 or a 4-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Hi, I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I've educated myself on the importance of preventative care and cardio maintenance. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with the building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by Jim Strauss after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery. As a seventh-generation herbalist, Jim knew that there were herbs that had a long tradition of heart, blood, and circulation properties, and that there had to be another option besides going under the knife. Jim said no and began working on a formula to better himself and others. After he perfected the mixture of herbs and spices, he created Strauss Heart Drops. Get the Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.95. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you really can do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
In this jungle called life, only the tiger survives. So says the armchair survivalist Kurt Wilson, owner of Survival Enterprises. Kurt talks common sense about food storage, health care, firearms and weaponry, security, urban and wilderness survival techniques, and the simple things we can all do to help us and our loved ones survive when bad times hit. Learn to be one step ahead of the crowd in everyday situations. The armchair survivalist is geared for the rest of us who don't have unlimited funds to buy land, a cabin, build a bunker, or buy all the expensive survival supplies that would come in handy. He shows you how to work smarter, not harder. For over 25 years, Kurt has been helping people prepare for hard times. The Armchair Survivalist is sure to be an informative, entertaining, and educational talk show, with Kurt not only sharing his vast level of survival knowledge, but taking your calls as well. Listen to the Armchair Survivalist, Saturdays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time on the GCN Radio Network.
Communication Network. Our guest is Mr. Robert Peters, President of Morality and Media. And would you like to get your website out, information on your ministry?
We have two websites. Our main website is moralityinmedia.org. That's moralityinmedia.org. That website covers both the pornography issue and the mainstream sex vulgarity violence issue, which those are our two focuses at Morality and Media. We also have a second website, obscenitycrimes.org, which is focused on the internet pornography problem. There's a lot of, at one level, the obscenitycrimes.org is an easier website to negotiate because it focuses on pornography in a handful of categories, but people run across the hardcore adult stuff on the internet. They can report it to obscenitycrimes.org, and we'll at least pass it on to law enforcement agencies who are supposed to enforce federal obscenity laws.
Yeah, but are they enforcing the federal obscenity laws? That's the question.
Well, they're doing it a little bit better than was done during the Bill Clinton, Janet Reno era, but, you know, for a number of reasons, the George Bush record on enforcing federal obscenity laws has been to a significant degree, a bitter disappointment. I mean, I don't think there's any question that September 11th, 2001 is a big part of the explanation, particularly with, you know, diversion of resources in the Justice Department and FBI. But, you know, and I don't per se blame it on George Bush, although I think he could have done more had he been willing to intervene in this issue on the pornography. I don't think his attorney general and the director of the FBI would have ignored this problem as much as they've done. But ultimately, John Ashcroft in particular and FBI Director Bob Mueller have not, you know, with John Ashcroft, he wasn't willing to do what was needed to be done, and Bob Mueller still isn't willing to do what needs to be done to effectively enforce the federal obscenity laws.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly sympathize with you. What about this? I think it was 2020. It was one of the television programs that was, it would have hire somebody to pretend to be a child and get these fellows to come across state lines to, supposedly have intimate relations with this little 13-year-old girl. And when they got there, of course, there was, I think it was 2020, wasn't it? I'm sure you're better acquainted with that than I am. Anyway, of course, they apparently picked up a lot of the child predators. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll tell you, I guess a partial credit to the law enforcement agencies of our country, both federal and state, a lot of resources are being poured into the effort to both to curb child pornography and particularly to go after adults who are looking to have sex with children and using the internet for that purpose. I mean, there's been a lot of money and time and effort and is being spent to fight sexual exploitation of children. I would say this, the 2020 program where in effect what's happened is that a television network and a private special interest group have kind of teamed up. And they team up with some local law enforcement group, and they go after these people, which, I mean, I don't know. At one level, I'm not saying that necessarily is a bad thing, but I'm not a big fan of having the television stations follow, you know, be in the police cars when they're out doing their job. I think that tends to, you know, make police officers do things that they might not otherwise do. And I think it, you know, to some extent, the law has a punishment for people who break the law, and it doesn't include being on national television so that people can be entertained. So I'm not a big fan of these police shows where the television people go out in the car and watch, you know, crimes being committed and arrests being made. And, you know, I would say this, that if law enforcement weren't doing its job fighting sexual exploitation of children, what that 2020 program is doing might be more justifiable. But the bottom line is that, I mean, both at the federal and state levels, I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars are being poured into this fight. And at one level, I don't think that they, you know, really need ABC Television's assistance. And there have been some problems, including a suicide, that resulted when, you know, the law enforcement people went to arrest somebody with a big camera crew accompanying them. And the person got so freaked out that they killed themselves. So it's kind of a difficult situation. I'm not totally opposed to what 2020 is doing, and I forget the group that they work with, but there are clearly some potential problems with what they are doing.
All right, fine. Well, now, what is your solution? I mean, certainly they've managed to, you know, supervise the apprehension of dozens and dozens of child predators. And, you know, of course, we'd like to think that the government's doing a great job on it, but I really wonder if they are. Anyway, what is your feeling?
Well, I tell you, the thing, I'm at one level, Bob Peters and Morality and Media are fully supportive of government efforts to go after child pornography and to go after adults who are looking for children that, for sexual purposes. But we also believe at Morality and Media that one reason why we have so many adults out there looking for not little children, but 13, 14, 15-year-old boys and girls is because a lot of them have gotten hooked on adult pornography. I've seen this. You know, I mean, one advantage or, you know, I guess one benefit or whatever you'd call it of working for an organization like Morality and Media is that people send us a lot of, you know, news articles and I pick up on things. And I see at one level I'm seeing it more and more where there'll be a news article about sexual exploitation of children and this phenomena of adults who, when they start looking at pornography, they're not out there looking for child pornography. They start out with the adult stuff. But after a while, the adult stuff gets old, and there's so much sexual exploitation of children on the Internet that they run into that, you know, a 16, 17, 13, 14-year-old girl, very, very attractive. And we tend to think of adults who sexually prey on children as kind of these, you know, these twisted, tormented, you know, kind of people that got kind of messed up somewhere early in life, and that probably would describe the true pedophiles. But, you know, a lot of these, in my opinion, a lot of the guys that are getting caught in these law enforcement stings are not what you would consider classic pedophiles. If they hadn't gotten into pornography, they would have been perfectly normal men. It's the pornography that draws them in the direction of getting, you know, sexually interested in children. And there's a lot of evidence for that. I mean, both professional and just law enforcement agents commenting on what they perceive is happening with some of these guys, and i.e. that they aren't, you know, this closeted person that all they think about is children. They're not. They're normal guys, but they start looking at pornography. They see this barely legal teen stuff. They see pseudo-child porn, and eventually they see some of the real stuff, and that sets them off in the direction of looking for an actual minor. But our advice would be enforce the adult obscenity laws, put these pornographers out of business, and you aren't going to have so much of this problem of essentially normal adults out looking for kids, because it's the pornography that's pushing them in that direction.
Well, what about, of course, with this epidemic of pedophilia within the Catholic Church? Well, where does that fit into this? Are these people victims of pornography?
Well, I tell you, I've been told that, you know, and I realize it was an anecdotal statement, but somebody who, a friend of mine who was, you know, a well-connected Catholic told me that from insider's information that many of the priests who are, you know, who have been apprehended, exposed for this sexual abuse of children, pornography figured into that problem in one way or another. And I've seen it, you know, I've seen quite a number of articles over the years where priests being arrested and, you know, some aspect of the pornography, either they had child pornography or they were showing the kids pornography to sexually excite them or desensitize them. But I tell you, the evidence that you know, I think it, the way to put it is that not everyone who looks at child pornography is going to go out and molest a child. That, I think that's clear. But almost everyone that does molest a child has a child pornography problem somewhere in their present life or their past. If they don't have actual legal child pornography, they have what is called child erotica, because they don't want to get arrested. But they're still looking at sexual material that depicts children. So, you know, again, the way it works is that not everyone who looks at child pornography is necessarily going to go out and molest a child. But almost everyone who does either had or has a current problem with pornography, typically child pornography, but not exclusively child porn, I'll tell you. So, I mean, clearly the child pornography or the pornography in general is not having a cathartic effect on these people. It's contributing to their molestation of children.
Well, don't you think there's a real spiritual problem among many people in this country? And that actually the use of pornography is a revolt against God and God's laws, and this idea of promiscuity and premarital sex and pornography, these three P's are part of a revolt against God?
Well, I think so. And, you know, I haven't listened to Billy Graham, you know, all that often, not because, you know, I don't watch much television, but every once in a while my wife or I have, you know, the... Living in New York, his program appears on one of our television stations. It did before his health put him kind of. But, you know, twice, the relatively few times that I've listened to Billy Graham preach on TV, he compared, he compared Sodom and Gomorrah to the pornography problem instead of, you know, what most, you know, typically think of Sodom and the subject of homosexuality comes up. But he tied Sodom and Gomorrah to the pornography problem. Now, I don't mean to be sarcastic. He might have been doing that to avoid some problems. But I'll tell you, you know, as somebody who works in, you know, fighting pornography, you know, at one level, I've come to think of Sodom and Gomorrah as representative of a complete collapse of sexual morality. Not just as homosexuality per se. Now, I'm not sure I'm right about that, but it's just the way, part of my thinking is that to some extent, Sodom and Gomorrah represent a complete collapse of morality and, of course, law with it, because all of the men of the city wanted to go out and rape somebody, and there was no prevention there. And, you know, if you look at the content of pornography, it represents a complete, utter collapse, abandonment of any type of restraint at all. I mean, sexual murders take place in pornography, torture, degradation that you don't even want to talk about in public. I mean, it's almost like whatever the human imagination can come up with in terms of perversion and sickness and mistreatment of other human beings, it's reflected in pornography. Now, we are being told that one reason laws in America can't be enforced against pornography is because most Americans now accept it. Now, I don't think that's true, but I do think that we are heading in the direction of a majority of Americans accepting this abomination. And if we get to the place where they accept it, more and more, it's not only going to be shaping our, you know, attitudes about sexuality, it's going to be shaping how we, you know, our, the actual outworkings of sexual morality. And, you know, there's a passage in the New Testament, I forget whether it's in the book of Jude or Peter, where the writer said that, you know, that Sodom is intended to be an example of those, for those who would, in effect, choose to live the same way in the future, for them to know what the result of those choices are. But, you know, as a society, we are moving in the direction, literally, of another Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I don't think we've gotten there yet, and I think there's still time for the American people to wake up and say, we don't want to go in that direction. That's not the kind of people we want to be. That's not the kind of world I want my kids and grandkids and great-grandkids to grow up in. But if we don't do something, I don't know what the time frame is, but I honestly believe that at some point there isn't going to be any turning back.
Well, I'm not so certain that we haven't just about got to that point today. I mean, the thing is that when the people who control the media are pushing pornography, the things that I see in the way of advertisements on television, frank pornography, no question at all. You know, everything is very, very suggestive. In the schools today, they're actually teaching our children all about sex and no restraint at all. They're actually teaching our children, you decide what's right and wrong. What 15 or 16 or 17-year-old child is in a position to determine what's right and wrong? Our schools are pushing these various philosophies that are totally destructive to society.
Well, you know, before I began working at Morality and Media back in 1985, I was involved in a grassroots coalition of interfaith coalition in New York City that, you know, was very active on the family and moral issues. And one issue that I got involved in was a sex education program introduced in the New York City public school system that had in significant measure been shaped by Planned Parenthood, not exclusively, but they were, I think, the key player in the development of this curriculum. And a Catholic priest friend of mine in this interfaith coalition and I went down to a library that had a lot of books about sexuality. We took the recommended textbooks that were for this New York City sex education curriculum. They had recommended books for classrooms. And this priest and I went to this library, and we found most of them. And we took excerpts, you know, made copies and wrote things down. And, you know, among other things we discovered was that a good number of these books actually promoted use of pornography because they felt that if you were looking at pornography, and of course people masturbate when they look at pornography, they wouldn't be getting pregnant, girls wouldn't be, and there wouldn't be any transmission of sexually transmitted diseases. Now, at one level, the goals that is kind of are okay for children. But, you know, they were actually advocating that children look at pornography as an alternative to having sex. This was, you know, back in the late 1970s in New York City. And I'll tell you, some of these books were like for, you know, for recommended 7th, 8th graders, that level, 8th grade, because this was the whole New York City public school system. Not just high school. These they were recommending this stuff in 7th and 8th grade, that kids look at pornography as an alternative to having sex with their boyfriends and girlfriends. So,
well,
you know, it lets you know some of the stuff that children learn in some of these sex education programs.
I'm going to have to interrupt you here because we're out of time. Our guest has been Mr. Robert Peters. Would you like to give your number or your website out one more time before we let you go?
Okay, the main website is moralityinmedia.org. If somebody wanted to call us, we are listed in the New York City Manhattan.
Now, you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping, or boating. Or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other Sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine, so Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course, the questions I asked, why did the Supreme Court do what they did? Well, because the Masons controlled the Supreme Court from 1941 to 1971, where they did most of their harm in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1. Eight Masons to one non-Mason on the Supreme Court. And you can check this out. Go up on the Internet and get a list of the Masons on the Supreme Court and see when they were there. We have a couple of books. Of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, explains this. The book Behind the Lodge Door by Paul Fisher and Unholy Alliance by James Wardner. We have them in stock, and they will explain these things to you. But isn't it amazing that so many good people out there have no idea why these things are going now? You have to understand that there is a spiritual battle. There is a conscious effort to destroy the morality of our people and make us, of course, into a state where people have an obsession with pornography. Certainly we have child sex rings here in the United States, the Franklin cover-up by John DeCamp. We don't carry it. We should, but certainly an important book. It goes into the sex slave ring that went into Boys Town and went right up into the White House itself. We do carry one book called Satanic Crimes by William H. Kennedy. That's Satanic Crimes. You want to get that book. We recommend it to you. It goes into the Bilderbergers and their involvement in pornography, this most powerful organization to which David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger and the Zbigniew Brzezinski belong. Now, I'm not suggesting they're into this. I don't know. We do know that they also are part of the Bohemian Grove, and there's tremendous sexual immorality there. Let me suggest the book Satanic Crimes and the four-tape set on Satanic Crimes. Let me suggest our four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove and Alex Jones, a wonderful DVD going into the background of the Bohemian Grove. They just ask for Alex Jones, Bohemian Grove. We have Alex Jones' video, I should say DVD, Endgame, that goes into the Bilderbergers. And, of course, this doesn't necessarily deal with pedophilia, but, of course, it does deal with population control and the plan to eliminate most of the people on this planet. Understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield, and we just talk about the issues of pornography, and we don't get into the spiritual forces which are really behind this and which are really trying to destroy the morality of your children and mine. And remember, most of this, of course, was financed by the Rockefeller Foundation, which financed Alfred Kinsey and his flawed sex research as a man, a pedophile and a homosexual, and he gave perversion a bad name. If you want to get into the background of that, the book Foundations, their power and influence. It's available only through Radio Liberty. That's Foundations, their power and influence. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. The book, Satanic Crimes, gets into the Bilderbergers and pedophilia, as does the four-tape set on Satanic Crimes. And then, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, Paul Fisher's Behind the Lodge Door, and James Wardner, Unholy Alliances, get into this whole background of the Supreme Court being controlled by the Masons. But they can't let you know about that, because the Masons were a secret occult society, and they still are. And they're working at every level of our society. You really need to get the DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, two of them, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, The Atlantis Connection, which we produced, My Talk on the Forbidden Secret, the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years by members of secret society, by the priests, by the prophets, by the sages, by the elect. And we'll introduce you into the other dimension. There is another dimension there. You can access it, but ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to access it. Please pray for America. We're in a spiritual battle. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two-pack for only $99 or a four-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests. And, well, the guest this afternoon is Dr. David Kennedy, and certainly one of our close friends, a man who is a retired dentist. He spends his time trying to educate the American people that they're poisoning your children. They know exactly what they're doing. Fluoride, first of all, decreases fertility, so it's being used for population control. It alters the endocrine system. Girls start their menarche early when, of course, they are in areas where they drink fluoridated water. Certainly large studies have been done in the past by Dr. Dean Burke showing lower fertility levels, about 50% fertility level, in areas where the water was fluoridated. And then, of course, it has an effect on intelligence. It lowers your intelligence, and that's why the Germans used the fluoride in the areas where they were occupying during the Second World War, and why the Russians used it in the concentration camps. And this was Perkins' work. You can go up on the internet and check what I'm saying. Just type in Perkins and of course fluoridated water. understand is that it makes your bones softer and more susceptible to breaking. It increases cancer in the overall group, and we know that cancer is dramatically on the rise, but it specifically affects the incidence of osteogenic sarcoma in boys about 7 or 8 years of age. And, of course, it'll attack your thyroid, and it'll attack your endocrine system. It'll attack everything in you. It's a deadly poison. It increases heart attack. The incidence of heart disease is twice as high in communities where they fluoridate the water. And Dr. Kennedy's out there trying to get people to understand they're poisoning us and poisoning our children, and because so many people refuse to think and refuse to do the scientific work. All they have to go to the Internet and see what the people from the Environmental Protection Agency are saying. Not the people in key positions, because they're trying to poison the public, but what the scientists who work for the EPA and the lawyers and the technicians who work for them say. And you can go to their website, www.nteu280.org. Pull down that website and read everything on it. Understand they're poisoning your children. David, thank you so much for being with us.
Dr. Sam, thank you for having me on your program. It's a good to talk with you.
Well, I'm going to let you you talk, because people get tired of hearing me talk all the time. Go right ahead.
Sometimes I get tired of hearing myself. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. But the issue of excess exposure to fluoride was detailed out in actually the January issue. I've got a pre-copy of it right here, of the Scientific American, and that they rely heavily upon the 2006 and National Research Council review of fluoride. But it's really clear that there are people that are being overdosed with fluoride from fluoride in the water, and those people are people that drink water. Some people are athletes, they go work out. Children that might have a beverage or two. I think up until the age of 3, the equivalent of half a cup of fluoridated water is the recommended dose for an older child, and before the age of 1, they recommend none. So, you'd get kind of thirsty if you had to go for a whole year with no water at all.
Well, of course, what they're doing is that they're mixing up the formulas for the children with fluoridated water and poisoning them. There's no fluoride in breast milk. Do you mean God made a mistake? And the people at the CDC are so much smarter than God. That's why they have to have, the fluoridated water, because they use that for mixing up formulas. And our children are being poisoned before they ever have a chance in life. And the average individual doesn't understand this impacts on the brain. And the brain injury will be there forever. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. David Kennedy, a retired dentist, who is one of the real leaders in the movement today to try to educate the American people about the dangers of water fluoridation. And he has a wonderful DVD we carry called Drinking Water. And you'll actually see his trip to China, where he went over there. And he goes into the communities where there's been fluoride in the water. And you can see the kids there. And the fluoride's taken out, normal, healthy kids. Fluoride is still in. Kids just sort of standing there with a blank look on their face. Understanding now, this is natural fluoride in the water. And they're trying to get it out. In China, they're trying to protect their children. Here, they're trying to poison them. And you say, why would anybody do that? Well, the people who have a different worldview than you and I do. So, David, you pick up the story. I think that your DVD on drinking water is one of the best tools we have.
I got a call the other day from a gentleman in England that got a hold of one, and I forgot to ask him how he managed to get a copy of it in England. Maybe some of our supporters there had been able to distribute them. But he got a copy of one. He took, he said that he broke my copyright, and he made 4 copies and took the 5 copies down to the 5 city councilmen in his community, and he knew them all, and he said, I want you to watch this video. And they all watched it, and he went back next week, and they said, well, we've decided to stop fluoridation. they hate to have that kind of information out there. That's why the people advocating fluoridation refuse to come on Jon Stewart or any of the TV programs where there might be a tough question like, why do you recommend it? They refuse to come to debates in city councils where there is a question and answer session. They'll only do it where they can control the agenda, where they get to pontificate, it's the 10 greatest things since sliced bread, blah, 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 and then they won't answer the simple question, as are you putting fluoride in the water or are you putting something else? Because the answer to that question is they're putting arsenic, lead, cadmium, mercury, and a potpourri of radioactive isotopes and sodium silica fluoride or fluoride hooked to sand. Well, you know, if you have one molecule of oxygen or two molecules of oxygen, that's what you breathe. If you take your two molecules of oxygen and put it with two molecules of hydrogen, you have H2O2. And, well, that's real close to water, isn't it, H2O? But, no, you've got peroxide. That's rocket fuel. So just putting one more molecule of oxygen on water makes rocket fuel. So, you know, there's lots of differences between, you know, one molecule of fluoride, which was the natural fluoride we saw in the water in China, where there's hard water, calcium, and so forth, and the stuff that they're putting in your water, which is raw, untreated, hazardous waste.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Kennedy is simply pointing out that in 90% of the communities that are fluoridated, they're not putting sodium fluoride in the water. They're putting in hydrofluosilicic acid, which is a hazardous waste. It is so toxic you can't pour it in the ocean. It's so toxic you can't pour it in a river. It's so toxic that if you want to dispose of it, it's very expensive. They have to have very special forms of toxic waste disposal. But the cheapest thing is to put out literally tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars to bribe politicians all across this country and the American Medical Association and the American Dental Association to get them to support putting this toxic waste substance in your drinking water. And that's what they're using all across California. That's what they're going to be putting in Watsonville. That's what, of course, they're putting in communities all across America. And you have to ask yourself, who's putting up the money? Because a lot of the communities weren't anxious to put in the fluoride, but the law was written in Sacramento that said, well, once funding is available, you have to put it in. Who's putting up the hundreds of millions of dollars to put this poison into your drinking water? Why, of course, the phosphate industry, the uranium industry, they have to get rid of this toxic waste substance. When they ship it to your local community, they have to use special tanks that were lined with rubber, because if you put it in metal tanks, it'll just road right on through. Pick up the story there, David.
Well, you know, as long as we're looking at the money, the real tragedy in this whole thing is that they're stealing money from children's health. That there are $20 million in Los Angeles, another $5.7 in San Diego from the first five. The first 5 years of a child's life is critical in terms of their longevity and health and intelligence, and that the voters of California very wisely set aside money from every pack of cigarettes sold so that you can go ahead and smoke another coffin nail, but in the same process that you're going to be giving a few pennies off to the health of the children. Well, what the fools have done is that they've allocated this money from the first five to buy raw, untreated, hazardous waste from Florida, truck it to California, and this stuff is contaminated with enough arsenic to cause an additional cancer of bladder or lung for 1,000 lifetime water users. So the money that you try to improve the health of the children with has been subverted into buying raw waste and profiting a very few number of people, not the children. No, just the people that have the hazardous waste piling up in Florida are the only ones that are going to benefit. But look, here's a nice new study just out of Dartmouth where the researchers show that very, very low doses of arsenic have a profound effect and disrupt the activity of hormones, particularly estrogen and testosterone, and that they end up with organ cancers, testosterone, and all of these things are because they're called endocrine disruptors, and steroid hormone receptors are signaling, and it basically ends up causing all these tissues to pop up nice new cancers. And that, if you love fluoride, you would not love arsenic. And California has a special group of scientists who are supposed to develop what are called health hazard assessments. It's called OEHA, Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment. And they looked at arsenic, and the data is so overwhelming that arsenic is harmful that they set a maximum contaminant level of 4 parts per trillion. That's the T word, trillion. and that when you get through adding the fluoridation chemicals, you're up to one part per billion, B word. So, you know, there's three zeros in there. So you have about 1,000 times more, or 250 times more, of the level of arsenic than you would otherwise, and for a health standard. And that, but they developed a phony standard for fluoride. They, if they had just used the data that they had, and we showed them the numbers, Bill Hersey and I published this years ago in a scientific journal, but, you know, that the level of fluoride in breast milk is about right. It's 0.005 or less, and that is the level that we calculated would cause a minimum amount of harm. And that the dentist went to these people and said, oh, if you come up with that kind of standard, we won't be able to carry on our wonderful fluoridation program in California like Jackie Speier and Willie Brown have recommended. And Pete Wilson signed. Well, of course, Pete Wilson had $100,000 added to his campaign fund just a few months before he signed the bill. So, yeah, there's money changing hands. But the fluoride level was set at one part per million arbitrarily. Not based upon any science. They have no science to support that. And that we've been asking them for almost 10 years now to do a reasonable assessment based upon the scientific evidence. And that, you know, you have passed laws, but you can't, you know, how do you enforce them? Where's the enforcement arm for a WEHA? Oh, they don't have one. It's just political. I see. So it's like a speed limit with no policemen.
Well, I think it's so important. You were mentioning Dartmouth. Roger Masters, Dr. Roger Masters, who's at Dartmouth, has been very concerned about the fact that we have so much criminal activity in America. Of course, we have about 2 million Americans in prison today, well over about 2.2 million. But we have 7 million Americans in prison, probation, or parole. And a lot of these are blacks, and the question is why? Well, of course, Dr. Masters felt that the lead that was in hydrofluorosilicic acid, it has lead in it, was playing a part because there's no safe level of lead. And you get lead in the brain, why you get rage, you get criminal activity. And he's demonstrated this repeatedly. That's really what his field is. But there was a study that was done on 450,000 children. 450,000 children. Where they checked the level of lead in the blood. And in those children, those 450,000 children, if they were in communities with hydrofluorosilicic acid, the level of lead in the blood in blacks was up 6 times, up 4 times in Hispanics, doubled in whites. So you'd have certainly a preponderance of blacks, you know, would be have the lead intoxication much more so than the whites. And of course, this has been studied and it's verified. It's well known. If you'd like to get go up on the internet and check out Dr. Roger Masters, we have a wonderful interview with him. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Paul Connett, certainly of fluoridealert.org, has this information. You need to get it. You need to understand. They're poisoning our children, and this is one reason I'm firmly convinced, and so is Dr. Masters, that there's so many blacks in prison. Is because we're poisoning them with lead directly related to the water fluoridation with hydrofluorosilicic acid, which contains lead and cadmium and arsenic and polonium-20. Go ahead.
And I want to point out that Dr. Masters did not find higher lead levels in the water. He found higher lead levels in the children, and that he theorizes that that's due to the nature of sodium silica fluoride, or the silica fluorides, as he calls them, because that this is a very strange molecule. There's actually a patent in the U.S. Patent Office for using silica fluorides to extract lead from brass. You can have a Civil War cannon, put it in a vat of silica fluoride, and then you'll have your copper and your lead separated, thank you very much, to this very strange chemical. You can put that in water, and you know you can see these sailors digging up these Civil War ships that sank 150 years ago, and the cannons are still intact. But you could get rid of that cannon in just about a week. Just drop it in a vat of sodium silica fluoride. So the silica fluoride is not fluoride. It's a very, very strange chemical that extracts lead from brass. And that's what they theorize is the reason that these children in 3 different states, in 2 different huge studies, and there are more children in these 2 studies than in all the tooth decay studies in the history of the United States combined. And it was all broad-based and blinded. That's the thing. In 3 different court cases, that the attorney repeatedly asked the advocates for fluoridation, can you show me a valid study that valid by your standards, you know, broad-based, blinded, randomized, controlled, where one part per million fluoride in the drinking water reduced the tooth decay of the permanent teeth. Not one of them could find a study that was randomized, broad-based, and blinded. So here we have...
Now, you're talking about permanent teeth in reference to the early teeth.
The baby teeth, you can show that because it delays them coming in.
Right.
So, you know, a child with no teeth is not going to have nearly as many cavities as a child who grows up normally.
Right.
So, you know, if you suppress the thyroid, the teeth come in late. So there's a tooth delay factor. I don't know a mother on the planet that thinks it's good to give your child a poison so it grows up slower. I suppose that there's probably one someplace. But anyway, probably a dentist. But anyway, that they can show. As a matter of fact, they want to show. You know, it's not that they don't know this. This is first discovered, I think, in the Kingston-Newburgh thing. They showed a six-month delay when the only source of fluoride was the water. Now we've got fluoride in Wheaties. We've got fluoride in your breakfast cereal. We've got it in your baby foods. We've got it in all manner of stuff. You know, that recent article that was in the Scientific American quoted some studies that Levi had been doing at the university there, and he found four parts per million in black tea and two or three parts per million in raisins. Well, Channel 10 here in San Diego found three parts per million in Gerber's graduate berry punch, you know, and that's because white grape juice was 6.8 parts per million, and white grape juice is highly contaminated with fluoride because that's what happens when you use a pesticide on the grapes. And so, we're just getting overdosed totally with fluoride, because when you say fluoride, the average person's eyes kind of glaze over and they say, oh, you're one of those people with the propeller hats and that think that there's a communist conspiracy. That's what they say about us. That's not what we say about ourselves. We're in favor of safe water and healthy children. But they denigrate us, and for somehow, the media, which takes all the money from the toothpaste advertisers, have taken their song and dance and made it gospel.
Well, is white tea any better than green tea?
Nope. Green tea's a little worse.
All right, fine. Green tea's worse than white tea. Well, our guest is, of course, Dr. David Kennedy. And what most people don't understand is, well, do you know a better way to destroy a nation than to poison the people? You can check this out. We have got all sorts of books. We've got a book, The Fluoride Deception, four tape sets, DVDs. You need to get the information. You go up on the Internet, you can get it. Go to fluoridealert.org, fluoridealert.org. Go to www.nteu280.org, nteu280.org. See what the people of the EPA is trying to get out and being blocked by the controlled media. Well, David, go right ahead.
Well, then when the people that are promoting this absolutely refuse to come on your program, for example, and talk about the benefits, or do anything where there might be a head-to-head discussion, and that's, you know, how can you tell they're lying? You know, you look and their lips are moving. Well, that means they're lying, because everything they say, everything that comes out of their mouth, is either a generalization or false. And then that's why they don't like to debate, because you can catch them in all these misstatements. I remember in Santa Barbara, David Nelson, who was the head of the fluoridation task force here in California, went before the water board and he said, read my lips, there are no studies whatsoever that ever found that fluoride at one part per million caused any adverse health effects at all. There's no cancer, no hip fracture, no dental fluorosis, no neurological impairment, no nothing. And, you know, with the citizens of Santa Barbara, 21 complaints went into the dental board. And everything he said there was false. There's one part per million caused damage to the brains of rats. One part per million is linked to hip fracture. One part per million does cause dental fluorosis in about half the children, and on and on. And so they said, well, you know, he doesn't appear to have his facts too correct, but it's okay for him to make false statements to the public. Although it is a violation of the Dental Practice Act, it's okay because he's working for a corporation. Well, if you read the Dental Practice Act, it says no corporation or its employees, which is what he is, may make false statements to the public, so they didn't even follow the law. But, oh, that's so typical of the profession. They'll bend over backwards to continue the lie, because guess who's going to get blamed when the public figures out who's damaged the children, who's caused all this thyroid suppression, who's caused the bone cancer in young boys. Who's done all that are the liars. They've been out there telling you a falsehood. Fluoride is not beneficial in the water. It does not work at all systemically to benefit the human being. Not one bit. Not there's not one minute that it's going to help anybody. It causes harm. When you swallow, it's causing harm. The only alleged benefit today, and this is the advocates talking, the alleged has a topical benefit. I disagree with that. I think the studies do not show a beneficial effect topically, but they claim it does. So we can argue about that if they'd ever show up to a debate. But, you know, the fact that systemic fluoride harms is really, really obvious. All you got to do is have your child come over after they've brushed their teeth and have them show you their front permanent, two front permanent teeth. If they're little white spots in them, or big white spots, or even brown spots, that can be dental fluorosis. Is it? What happens is that when the baby's on a bottle, if the bottle is made up with fluoridated tap water, that the dose is high enough that it causes the cells making those permanent teeth to make irregular enamel that is porous, weak, brittle, prone to decay, and ugly. Because those porous enamel very soon will pick up brown from, you know, tea or coffee. I had one guy had green teeth because he used certs. People thought his teeth were rotted because they had brown spots on them, so he sucked on certs all the time so they wouldn't think he didn't brush his teeth. He brushed his teeth about 87 times a day. You don't brush it off. The tooth itself has a permanent scar, and that's the problem. This is, you've got to be a dentist to believe you can have a child swallow a poison that causes permanent scarring of their teeth, and that's the only tissue that was scarred. If we took that person and we put them in a scanner and started looking, their brain is scarred and their bones are scarred. And who knows what other tissues? It looks like the pineal gland, the thyroid gland, perhaps even the sex organs are scarred. So they've even got studies showing it goes from generation to generation. If you poison one generation, you end up poisoning the generation after and the generation after. You know, it's going to be 100 years for the damage that's been done by this.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Kennedy. Well, Dr. Kennedy was just pointing out that, of course, when you have a child with dental fluorosis, it means that the tooth is scarred, that they've had too much fluoride. But also, if you have the brown spots on the teeth, you probably also have poisoning of the sex organs, you have poisoning of the heart, you have poisoning of the thyroid, you have poisoning of the pineal gland. I mean, you have poisoning of the bone. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that they are poisoning our children. They know exactly what they're doing. We've got the scientific studies. They're available on the Internet. Do you care? And they simply going around giving millions of dollars to local communities. I've forgotten how many millions of dollars they were giving in Southern California so that they could fluoridate the Los Angeles basin.
$20 million in L.A., $5.7 million in San Diego.
In other words, somebody's putting up an awful lot of money. Why
are
they putting up the
money? They're taking it from the kids. This is money that is earmarked for children's health. And so instead of spending it on children's health, they're giving it to the hazardous waste disposal companies working for the largest privately owned corporations on the planet, in the whole world. And that, you know, they change their name every few weeks. It's hard to tell what their name is this week. But this corporation sells 70% of the fluoridation chemicals to the water supplies. And so the basically what's happening is money is going, that's supposed to be go to children's health, is going into the pockets of private individuals. And that's a crime. Now, why are we letting the politicians get away with that? Because people have fallen into a coma. They have gotten so disgusted with this whole play. Oh, I'm not going to bother with politics anymore. They're all crooked. Well, you're right. They are all crooked. But my philosophy is let them serve in office and then have them serve in jail.
Well, I think that people have to understand that this poison is affecting our children and our grandchildren. And there really are people who hate children. There are people who hate America. When you understand this, it really makes sense. And yes, I'm sure some people are motivated by the desire for money. They have to get rid of this toxic substance. As we say, it's too toxic to put into a river. It's too toxic even to dump into the ocean, where it'll be massively diluted. And it's very expensive to put it into a toxic dump or dispose of it that way. What better way to get rid of it than to put it into the drinking supply and the drinking water? And people would say that's madness. Well, it really is madness. We have letters, we have a syllabus, and we put it together. And there you'll see letters from the health officers in literally every country in Europe other than Ireland. And they, of course, they're poisoning the people in Ireland, but the rest of the countries in Europe and in certainly in China and in India, these letters from the health officers saying, of course we wouldn't put, we wouldn't put fluoride into our drinking water. Why are you putting fluoride in your drinking water when we're trying to get the fluoride out of our drinking water? Well, the reason is, of course, they're poisoning our people. But people have to really care enough to check and find out if it's true. And if it is true, that it means that the media is controlled, the American Dental Association is controlled, the American Medical Association is controlled, the CDC, the NIH, the FDA, the EPA, at least at the top, they're all controlled. And the people, the scientists who work for the EPA are frantic to get the truth out, and that's why you need to go to their union website, NTEU280.org. That's NTEU280.org. Pull it down. Read what the scientists who work with this, who've studied this, are trying to tell the American people and being totally blacked out by the controlled media. David, pick the story up.
Bill Hersey, the senior vice president for that union, testified before Congress in 2000 that there were 500,000 tons of silica fluoride disposed of through the public water supplies of this nation. If you have 500,000 tons of sodium silica fluoride to dispose of, and you didn't have some sucker willing to let you dump it in their water, you'd be a poor man. It would take more money than you and I have earned in our entire lifetime to dispose of that. On the other hand, if you can sell it, they're selling it for $3, $4, and $5 a gallon in Los Angeles, that you can become quite wealthy just doing that. So I suspect it's the greed disease coupled with the desire to destroy the evidence. The people who are doing this are not willing to debate. They're not willing to discuss it. Even though we've now got the National Academy of Science, it says, the public health goal that was developed with the health of the 80 was not safe. 12 out of 12 on the committee said, voted unanimously, no, that's not a safe level for people to consume.
Basically, the level that the American Dental Association has been claiming is 4 parts per million is perfectly safe.
They said 8.
They said 8.
In 1986, when the level went up to that level, they said, no, there's evidence that 8 parts per million is perfectly okay. And now we know that 1 part per million will poison a baby. Who says that? Well, that would be the ADA. If you read their website, you go to the ABA and search up what they say about infant bottles, they say, don't make up the baby bottle with the tap water if it's got the optimum level of fluoride in it, because the baby will be develop fluorosis. Well, what's fluorosis?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. All right, David, go ahead.
Well, what's fluorosis? And then, interesting, they should use the term fluorosis, because fluorosis is a general term that means fluoride poisoning. And it's not of the teeth. It's fluoride poisoning, period. And so that means brain, bone, teeth, any tissue, ligaments, joints. And so what does fluoride cause? It causes pain. And that was what we saw in China. And you mentioned our documentary that we filmed there in China with the help of the People's Republic of China Department of Endemic Disease Control. And they were very, very adamant about trying to get fluoride air pollution down. People don't realize that fluoride is all over the place, not just from the fluoride additive in the water. It's an air pollutant, and it's a pesticide. It's widely used. They want to actually fumigate all incoming fruits and vegetables, including your organic foods, with sulfuryl fluoride, which is what they kill termites with. So anyway, they're very adamant about getting it done. And why? Is it the main reason that the Chinese were so concerned about it is the people who are poisoned are very unproductive. Is that they can't feed themselves because they're in such pain that if they go out and try to farm for, half a day and they have to go lie down in pain. And then some people get crippled to the point where they can't actually even get up off the bed. And I say bed euphemistically, it's a piece of plywood. So the pain is the thing, and if they can't support themselves, then they end up as a burden to the children. And that's exactly what the government wanted to avoid, because that slows down the economy. So they went in, they drilled new wells, got the fluoride level down, and now these people can feed themselves. And you can just look at the two villages, you know, we went to 10, but you can look at the villages, and the ones that had the low fluoride were affluent villages, and the ones that had the high fluoride were just, I mean, stick houses with holes in them. And our guide, Chin Cho, said that this village used to be just as poor as the other one until we lowered the fluoride level 20 years ago, and now you can see how prosperous it is. And that, you know, it's just, they just don't have the money to go fix all the villages, because there's just, in Mongolia, there's just no water there. And so they have to drill these 500 to 1,000 foot deep wells to find water for them. And there's no electricity, so how to get the water out of a 1,000 foot deep well? Anyway, it's a terrible problem. But what we have in our country is politics, you know, saying, oh, it's good for the baby. Well, that's just a hazardous waste disposal program through the baby. There's nothing other than that.
But of course, the tragedy is that the dentists, they've been lied to by their organization. They can't believe the American Dental Association would lie to them. They can't believe that the doctors, you know, can't believe the American Medical Association would lie to them. But the reality is that they have been lied to. They have been deceived. There are people planted in the ADA and the AMA to lie to the members. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Dr. David Kennedy, and we're talking about the dangers of water fluoridation. And it is not simply water fluoridation. In 90% of the communities where they have fluoridated the water, and that's about 67-68% of our nation, why, of course, they're using hydrofluosilicic acid, which is a poison. It is so toxic that if you were to put it into a metal container, it would dissolve the container. That's why they have to truck it out here from the east in special tanker trucks that are lined with a rubber lining that they will not erode. Because if you were to get this on your wife, it actually burns. It will actually dissolve a cannon made out of brass and lead. It is so toxic that, you know, that they cannot pour it in the ocean, they cannot pour it in a river, they cannot pour it in the ground. They have to have special places to put it. It's extremely expensive to dispose of it, and they have hundreds of thousands of gallons to get rid of. So they're putting it in our water, and they're paying off our politicians, and they're paying off people in the AMA and the ADA to support it. A deadly poison that's poisoning our children. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And of course, if you want the documentation, we have it extensively. Have a wonderful syllabus called The Hidden Agenda. You'll see the articles that appeared in the Journal of Fluoride, which I was given permission to copy, telling you about all the things it does. And of course, you can go up on the internet. You can check this out at fluoridealert.org. Don't go to fluoridealert.com or .net, though. They've been put up by the American Dental Association, hoping that you wouldn't remember how it ended. And then, of course, you'll get the American Dental Association will tell you how safe this poison is. But before we go on, David, I want you to get out your website. I want you to get out your number. And you have a project. I know you're trying to raise funds so that you can actually get this lawyer to take this case to court. So tell us, really, what your project is.
Well, one of the things, we've been basically thwarted in the courts of law. The Escondido, California, the court said that the citizens are not entitled to water that's safe to drink. That was their conclusion, that the advocates for fluoridation had no experts, none, that could testify about either the safety or the efficacy of fluoridation. Because of the arsenic, the Department of Health actually was willing to stipulate that the arsenic was in the additive, and that, you know, it's never been legitimately approved. The congressional investigation discovered that. All of that, the court came down to and said, well, you don't really have a lawsuit because there's no guarantee that you won't be harmed by the water that you drink, and so the fact that there's hazardous chemicals being added to your water, that you don't have a right to sue, and so we're going to take it to federal court and put it under the Constitution. You have a right to be safe in your own home. So if the government decides to pipe arsenic and fluoride and cadmium and lead and a chelating agent for lead into your body of your children, you have the right not to be intruded upon by this chemical. So it's a very narrow lawsuit. It's just a very narrow focus. And we have the lawyers that spent $1 million of their own billing time in Escondido. We'll take the case, but they're going to need money. They're going to need $200,000. Well, think about it. We got 18 million people that are going to be drinking fluoridated tap water in Southern California, and there's about another 5 million already drinking in Northern California. Well, if every one of them gave one penny, we'd have the money. You know, a bunch of cheapskates, you know, they'll spend $10,000 to buy a treatment system for their house. You know, you absorb a half a liter of water if you take a 20-minute bath. So even if you think that, oh, I'm only going to drink bottled water, well, don't you bathe? You're not going to take a bath either. I guess you can get a pot and put it on the stove and use a sponge with your drinking water. But anyway, you got to spend it on your country. Rather than buy that big screen TV and the new BMW, go to work and try to save your nation. Because if you don't step up to bat now, is that you're not going to have a nation to save when your grandchildren are looking for a house or looking for a way to make a living, because they're going to have a nation full of people that are dumbed down and people that are poisoned, and healthcare costs are skyrocketing. Why? Because people are sick. You know, they got arthritis. 60 million people with arthritis in America. You know, nobody ever believes me, but my sister-in-law finally, you know, quit drinking the tap water in San Francisco, and her bad back went away. Oh, my. You know what happened to the people in China? The fluoride poisoned their lower back. We don't know why it poisons the lower back, but it does. How many women in this country have low back pain? I don't know. It's got to be more than 60 million. It's probably twice that number. But that's what happens when you swallow too much fluoride, is that the fluoride accumulates in the joints, certain joints, particularly the elbow, knee, and the back, and that ends up poisoning that joint. And so, you know, what's our solution? Oh, we're going to replace them. We'll do a knee replacement. We'll do elbow replacement. I talked to a guy that was working at the Alcoa plant in Bremerton, Washington, and he had both shoulders replaced, and he was exposed to fluoride in the aluminum factory. So fluoride destroys joints, bones. And so we're keeping the orthopedic surgeons busy. I know that's real good, but it's not the way to health. And that what you need for health is water, water with nothing in it. Well, the bad news is you can't get the fluoride out of the water. Is it? You can take it out with either reverse osmosis, will lower it but not remove it. Distillation will remove it. Well, you know, if you have to take all the water that comes into your house and distill it, your electric bill is going to look like, you know, Bill Gates' electric bill. It's going to be through the ceiling. So the only way, the only inexpensive way for us all to have water that's safe to drink is to make them stop putting chemicals that have never been approved. FDA's never approved any fluoride-containing substance intended to be ingested, never been legitimately certified by the American Water Works Association and American National Standards Institute. During the congressional investigation, they could not provide even a single toxicological document, and they wouldn't provide or couldn't provide the list of contents. Why? Because the AWWA, American Water Works Association, says that if an element has the potential for harm, doesn't have to prove it, potential for harm, it can't be in the water additive. Well, I think arsenic and lead have a potential for harm. Mercury does, too, and that's what's in this chemical. So they conveniently don't have a list of it. Well, conveniently, yes, but factually, they have to have a list of ingredients in order to be certified. So California has a law. We've sent out constructive notice to all the water companies here in Southern California that are accepting this additive, saying, constructive notice, the congressional investigation revealed this is not a legitimately certified product. And therefore, it is your responsibility to ship to your customers legitimate certified products. You are the provider, not Metropolitan Water District. It's a private agency. You do not have to accept water that's been adulterated with a chemical that is known to the state of California to cause cancer.
Well, David, you were going to get your address out there.
Oh, I didn't get that.
No, and so, well, I know how deeply you feel about this, and I feel about it too, but if we're going to try to accomplish anything, I want people to know how to get in touch with you and get more information.
Absolutely, Dr. Stan. And the 800 number is 800-728-3833. And that'll get a hold of Jeff Green. And our website is keepersofthewell.org. It's just like you'd write it out, K-E-E-P-E-R-S of the well.org.
All right, fine. Now, you have several DVDs on this subject. One of them we carry, I know, is called A Drinking Water, I think it is.
Let the Truth Be Told.
What's that?
Let the Truth Be Told.
Right. And then what's the other one? We carry at least two of yours.
The other one, I stick with The Truth Be Told, because most of the stuff that's in the Let the Truth Be Told is is already in the, it was in the older one, but the new version is, let the truth be told, it's the expanded version.
Well, there was somebody else that did a DVD that you would, had got me copies of. What was that one?
Is that Bill Hersey, Bob Curtin? And, Bill Hersey, who's in there? Is Christopher Bryson, Bill Hersey?
Yes,
myself, and the China video, and
right.
And that's in all the Let the Truth Be Told.
All right, fine. So, anyway, we carry the newest one is Drinking Water, Let the Truth Be Told. It's a very, very effective tool. And, of course, we have 2 4-tape sets. We have my talk on the hidden agenda. But the syllabus is what's really so important there that you have. And then, of course, we have a 2 4-tape set. So, anyway, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And most people say, why my dentist wouldn't. My dentist is a real nice guy, and I'm sure he is. But he just doesn't know the truth. You think your doctor is a nice guy? I'm sure he is. But he doesn't know the truth. The public health officers, if they want to keep their job, I've had public health officers on other subjects come to me and say, Stan, we know what you're saying is right, but we can't back you publicly, but you keep up the good work. Now, whether the public health officers on this issue, know the truth, we'll never know, because if they want to keep their job, you go along with the U.S. Public Health Service, which, of course, is instrumental, and they were the ones who originally brought forward this scam to poison the American people. And it started back in 1950 when they certified and said that there was scientific proof that that the use of fluoridated water would stop the dental caries in children. And of course it was supposedly just in the first set of teeth. But as David has said, it doesn't affect the second set of teeth. And it really doesn't even affect the first set of teeth, does it?
Not beneficially. That actually was a phony study, and it was done by the mass murderer of the Manhattan Project, in my opinion, Errol Hodge. He dummied up the number. How do we know that? Nobody can repeat his studies. Nobody. So they can't get the study to repeat because it was a phony study. It was an unblinded study where they just made up the numbers. Today, one of the study places is Kingston and Newburgh. And today, the people of Kingston have never allowed fluoride to be added to the water supply. And what they've shown is that there is no difference in tooth decay in Kingston versus Newburgh, but there is a huge difference in the amount of dental fluorosis. Is that Newburgh got the fluoride in the water, and there's gobs of dental fluorosis. It's double the amount of dental fluorosis in Newburgh as there is in Kingston. But interesting, there is even greater increase in the African-American children with dental fluorosis in Newburgh. And so that means it causes disproportionate harm. That makes that fluoridation is a racist policy. If you're out there damaging one section of the population, allegedly to benefit another section, then you're basically engaged in a racist policy. And that's why we have to step up and stop this.
And of course,
it should not be allowed in a free country.
The original study did show the difference between the two communities, that the age where girls started to menstruate was much lower, 6 months or 8 months lower, in the fluoridated community, which meant, of course, that the fluoridated water was affecting the pineal gland of these little girls. Well, of course, that's just over a short period of their life. And now, of course, we know that it decreases the fertility. And if you believe in population control, this is really great because it impacts on the fertility, of both boys and girls. So, and, of course, it affects certainly the sperm count. And what was this about Down's disease? Isn't there a definite relationship between Down's disease and water fluoridation?
Rappaport showed back before this country allowed abortions in the 50s, they had really good data on Down syndrome babies, and what they showed was that in older women, there was no statistically significant difference. But in young mothers, 20 to 30, which almost never had Down syndrome babies, if they were drinking fluoridated water, they were much more likely. I think it was a 4 or 6-fold increase. It's been a long time since I read it. But there was a much greater increase in the young women, and that was again shown in Chile when they in yet another study. We even know why is because the fluoride causes sister chromatidic changes in the mitotic spindle. So we've got it down on the molecular level as to even why this occurs, And why they would allow that to happen in a free country is your guess. And you have to, Thomas Jefferson said the tree of liberty must be watered by the blood of patriots. And I guess that means because there's some despot always willing to take your freedoms away, and that unless you step up and protect your family first and then protect your nation, then you're going to lose your country. And that's what the founding fathers understood about this place, is that we're not here by accident. We're here because people pledged their life and liberty and their sacred honor on this country. And that's what you've got to do again, because the forces of evil are working night and day to take it away from you and I. And that they don't want you to be free. They don't want your children to be healthy. They don't want you to live a long life. Don't let the same people be in charge of your Social Security as they're in charge of your longevity. There's a conflict of interest.
Well, of course, one reason they really would like to get rid of a lot of people is because Social Security is going bankrupt. And the only way to make it work is to get rid of a large part of the population. If you have not yet read the National Security Study Memorandum 200, that's NSSM 200. You can pull it down on the Internet, or you can purchase that from Radio Liberty. We actually have reproduced this. We think it is so important that people have access to this formerly secret government document telling about the major thrust of American foreign policy. It's called population control. There are too many people in the world. We've got to get rid of them. And Henry Kissinger is one of the major architects of the worldwide population control agenda. And of course, one of the great means of doing this is to fluoridate the drinking water. They know what they're doing. They know what the studies show. And, of course, they know that this will influence the sperm count and sperm motility for men in the areas where, of course, they fluoridated the drinking water. And then we wonder why so many couples are having difficulty conceiving children. Well, David, Sydney, what are some of the other issues you'd like to bring up?
Well, you know, you were talking earlier about dentists not intentionally poisoning their patients. And, you know, my sister-in-law likes to point out the fact that in my early days as a dentist, I wrote a prescription for my nieces and nephews to have fluoride tablets. I didn't do it because I hated them. I did it because I was taught that it was a good idea. And the problem is, most dentists don't go beyond their education. They don't continue their studies. They just, oh, well, you know, I was told this in school and I was told that in school. But you know what? Today, more than half the dentists, the most recent survey, refuse to use mercury fillings. So they've already got the tip of the iceberg. And it's not that much on fluoride. It's about 10% of dentists refuse to use fluoride. But there's already a substantial percentage of dentists who have figured out that the education they received about how wonderful mercury was to put in people's teeth was a bad idea. And that what I'm asking them to do, if any of them are listening, is to take that little bit of knowledge that you've already discovered and question every single thing you were told in dental school. Go to the scientific literature. The evidence is clear. You can go get a copy of the National Academy of Science Review of Fluoride. Read it. It's right there in black and white. Levels that are well known to occur in dental offices from topical treatment and in water fluoridation from systemic poisoning of America are found to cause harm to thyroids, endocrine glands, brain damage in animals. It's there for you to read.
All right, fine. And of course, much of this is covered in our syllabus. We put together the hidden agenda. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there is a hidden agenda. Our guest today has been Dr. David Kennedy. David, you want to get your telephone number out
it's
one more time?
800-728-3833. 728-3833. And thank you, Dr. Sand, for having me on and talking to your listeners.
Oh, you're going to have to. You've got three more minutes here before
good.
We let you go. But
all right, I have to on the time up.
No, I know you won't. Well, David is really one of my favorite guests. And we have him on because we're trying to get you to challenge, try to prove us wrong. Get the scientific studies. They're up on the Internet. The journal Fluoride you can pull down. Find out what's going on if they're poisoning our children. Well, David, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Okay, well, let me wrap it up and talk to you just kind of person to person. I've made the same mistakes in the past. I've believed the things that I was educated in school to believe. And that by going to the scientific literature, the evidence is there. And I've done my homework, and that's why I personally offered to join in a debate with the normal debating rules. And with any dentist or physician that believes they can show systemic fluoride is beneficial, I will take the opposing point of view. And the people advocating it refuse to come. Why? Is that they know they'd lose the debate. So if they lose, they've lost the debate in court over and over. So what we've got to do is we've got to take him to court again, and we've got to do it on a very specific thing. It says, can you put a chemical in the water that adversely impacts the health of the people that receive that water? And we have a constitutional complaint, and that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to ask the lawyers to go before the judge and tell the truth. And we can, and we have the experts, all the experts from the EPA and up and down the scientific corridors are willing to testify on our behalf, most of it for free. I mean, you know, buy them an airplane ticket and buy them dinner and give them a bed to sleep on, they'll come. Why? Because they care about their country as much as you do, as much as I do. There are lots of people out there who've sacrificed a lot to get it this far. And what we need is we need the $200,000 to get it the rest of the way. And that's what it's going to take, is that people have to step up to bat. I've spent my money. The lawyers have already invested over $1 million. And that we're going to have to put it before 12 men and women who can listen to these arguments. Oh, it's been proven safe and effective, and I don't have a single solitary study. Or here's what it causes harm to, this, 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 and this. So we will actually, it's not even harm. You have a right to be safe. So it's a question of safe water. Do you have a right to be safe in your own home or not? And so that's a constitutional question. And we're going to narrow the focus so that they don't tap dance around about children's teeth. It's about whether or not you have a right to be safe in your own home. And that's what the complaint is. It's a constitutional complaint about safety in your own home. You have a right. And that we believe that that right can be enforced by a court of law, and that we've already budgeted for the appeal, because if we win, they'll appeal. If they win, we'll appeal, because that's how it has to work. They're not going to give up. If you had 500,000 tons of this stuff to get rid of, you couldn't give up with just one lawsuit. What will happen is this lawsuit will act like a domino effect. This whole thing will go away. It'll end in a thunderclap. It's not going to go with a whimper, like mercury fillings were banned this week in Norway. It's going to go in a thunderclap. It'll go, but it'll cost nothing. Turn one switch off, boom. We'll get $27 million back.
Hold that thought. We're out of time. God bless. Thanks so much, David.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope that you have listened to what Dr. Kennedy has had to say, and that you'll want to check it out. Go to the website of the union of the people who work for the EPA. www.nteu280.org. And then, of course, go to fluoridealert.org, Dr. Paul Conant's website. Excellent material. Dr. Conant was a professor of chemistry who gave up his occupation to try to get the truth out, because they're poisoning our children. We have some great material at Radio Liberty. I have a talk called The Hidden Agenda. It's available on DVD or VHS. But the syllabus is so important, because we have there the letters from the health officers all throughout Europe. We have the articles out of Fluoride Magazine, which is a magazine, of course, it's actually where you have chemists from all over the world contributing to tell you about the deadly poison. I mean, fluoride is an insecticide, it's a pesticide, it will kill bacteria, it's a bactericidal agent. It will certainly be an effective effect on your brain. This is the thing that Prozac and Luvox and all of these psychotropic drugs, they're all fluoride, and they work by poisoning the uptake of the serotonin in your brain. We used to use this in anesthesia. We had a couple of my anesthesiologists I've worked with, and of course they used halothane, which was a fluoride compound, and both of them died of cancer of the prostate. Cancer of the pancreas. Coincidence? I don't think so. We know from the studies that fluoride increases the incidence of cancer. In the early part of the last century, 1900s, why, one person in 33 got cancer and died of cancer. Today it's one in two people will get cancer and die of cancer. Do you think that's happening just by accident? They know what they're doing. They don't want you to know. We carry Dr. Kennedy's very excellent DVD. It's called Drinking Water. You don't need to know the rest of it, just Drinking Water. You want to get the book, The Fluoride Deception. you want to get the 2-4 tape sets we have, and if you want, of course, get the material from Dr. Roger Masters of Dartmouth about how, of course, the hydroflow salicylic acid targets the blacks, and there, of course, they have 6 times the incidence of lead in their blood, their black children, than the white children. It doubles their incidence of, you know, white children, of course, in areas where they don't have the hydroflow salicylic acid, they don't have any lead in their blood. But if you have hydroflow salicylic acid in your drinking water, then you double the incidence of lead in white children. But it goes up 6 times in blacks. Is that why we have over 7 million Americans in prison, probation, and parole, and the majority of them, almost a majority, are black? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not a racist, be concerned. Share my concern. It's been said that the one reason that Rome fell was because they lined the aqueducts with lead. And, of course, people got lead poisoning. And yet that's what we're doing with our blacks today, and that's what we're doing with our own children. Because lead, of course, there's no safe level of lead. It gets in the brain, it creates rage and criminal activity. And Roger Masters of Dartmouth, if you want to get my interview with him, it's really fascinating. It's available by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You need to get this information. You need to find out if it's true. And if it is true that they're poisoning your children, it means you can't believe anything your dentist or your doctor tells you, that you can't believe what you're getting from the media, that it's all controlled by people who have a different agenda, and I'd like to suggest there are. You have to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You have to hear my talk on the forbidden knowledge, because we are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, in this case, on a scientific battlefield, on a dental scientific battlefield. And the average dentist has no idea. Get the information. Get to your dentist. That's what I did. My dentist had changed, and he's one of the greatest spokesmen against the fluoridation in our local community. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11.